Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snake was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod, and I'm by myself. That's right, all by myself, because I'm doing a solo review. And I got a few of these in the bank, so depending on the order you listen to these in, or if you choose to listen at all, you'll get a lot of these in your feed today, and hopefully you enjoy them. Anyway, the first of my my spoiled movie review solos is Cry Macho. Okay, now of course spoiled movie reviews is where we either we spoil the movie, so we do reviews for people who don't mind spoiling the movie, who don't care about spoilers, and who or just already seen the movie, you know. And in this case, with Clint Eastwood, I don't even know how you spoil this one. This spoiler, it's kind of boring. Anyway, let's get into it. I'll talk about what I liked about the movie, what I disliked about the movie, and then we'll score it from 0 to 5, and you guys can take it from there. Okay, let's start with a description of the movie. So, Cry Macho. A one-time rodeo star and washed-up horse breeder takes a job to bring a man's young son home and away from his alcoholic mom. On their journey, the horseman finds redemption through teaching the boy what it means to be a good man. It stars Clint Eastwood. It is directed by Clint Eastwood. It also stars Dwight Yoakam, a bunch of people I did not recognize, to be honest with y'all. Lots of Latinx people. You love to see it. Okay. So let's talk about what we liked about this movie. What did I like about this movie? Let's see. To be honest with y'all, I think the country of Mexico was like a character in this. In some instances, there's a lot of like Mexican culture stuff, and you know, the street life and the tough life, and the a little bit of the opulent life. They go see his mom, and who lives in like a mansion or something. But yeah, that was pretty, you know, like, it looked great, beautiful gowns, as they say. And of course, Clint Eastwood, you know, is playing Clint Eastwood, the cowboy, in this. So he's kind of just, if you've seen him do this for the last 70 years, then you pretty much know it. But other than that, I don't really think I liked much of it, you know? So I think that was pretty much all I have for, you know, the good, you know? You know, I guess, well, actually, I was gonna say maybe the fact that his love interest in this movie was an older lady, but I mean, what does that really mean when he's like 90? You know what I mean? Like, oh, she was 65, or you know, she was 50. Yeah, okay, so let's get to dislikes. As y'all can tell, I probably have a few. It's way too long, and I mean way too fucking long. This joint is an hour 44 minutes, but it could have, the lack of story here, it could have been an hour 15 for me. And a lot of the film is trying to set like this tone, and it's like almost the tone of a Western to some extent, but without any of the action of a Western. And Clint Eastwood as doing any level of like action chase scenes, driving, you know, they're getting a car wreck and his 90-year-old body is fine. Like, some of the stuff that just has to happen in this film for it to be believable is just so ridiculous, with the being a man who's this old. It just doesn't make any sense. Low key, the movie feels kind of racist. Now look, I didn't write it, I didn't direct it, but it feels like Mexico from a very white perspective, and it gives you that vibe of like how white men look at stuff and go, I can fix that with some grit, some savvy, and a little toughness. So a lot of his lessons to the kid, because essentially what happens is Clint Eastwood's character, Mike, gets tasked with going to find this rodeo owner, whatever, this guy Dwight Yoakam, play Howard Polk is the character's name. He's tasked to go find Howard's long lost son, and it's all over some type of like inheritance or money dispute. He got to get the son into the United States from Mexico, basically absconding the son from the mother. The son is underage, so he's not even like 18 or whatever. And the kid doesn't like his mom, he doesn't really like Mexico, but he's just kind of a rough street urchin, a street tough who's fighting cocks for a living or whatever. Like, he has a cock name, Macho, a rooster or whatever. And they, like, so much of this movie is this idea that Mike, the old tough white man, is like relaying knowledge to and giving tough love to this kid, and it's so off-putting to me, you know what I mean? Like, it's so like let my old whiteness come in here and give you some life lessons, little boy, and it's take you under my wing and teach you how to really be a tough man, like, you know. And so is Clint doing his thing of like, you know, the kid says something and it's just, it's not right. It's, you know, it's not, it's too millennial. And then Clint comes in and basically tells the kid, like, back in my day, you know what I'm saying? Like, see, the problem with you kids is that you do this and you do that. And so for me, I just mostly felt like there's a racial undertone to it. As a black person, that watching this old white man try to like steal away with this kid to bring him back, it just felt kind of weird and like a weird, like pointless plot almost. So that's a big part of it. The other thing that didn't make sense, the way that Mike and Howard talk. So Howard used to like run the rodeo or whatever, the ranch where Clint Eastwood's character Mike worked, and now they have like a what do you call it, like an acrimonious, they had an acrimonious split and they don't have a very good relationship, but he still does his favor for the guy, but the guy talks to him like shit, and it feels like their statement on like, this is Hollywood's statement of like, well, that's just how these guys talk. But to me, I'm like, why the fuck would a dude with a broke back and, you know what I'm saying, and nothing to really live for at the end of his life even take this fucking mission on? Why wouldn't he just be like, man, fuck you then, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't talk to me like that. But he just kind of goes and does it, you know, because the guy's all like demanding, like, you owe me, buddy. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. And so I think a lot of the sentimentality of the old west type of you know, cowboy white man thing, like that, the unstated agreement between men, that shit did not play well for me. It just came off as like a horrible motivation, and too many things in this film just feel like they're happening with no real explanation. Mike goes down to Mexico, first thing he finds out is like, oh, you gotta go see this kid's mom, and the kid's mom is like, dog, I don't know what they were trying to say. She's got these men that work for her, so it looks like she's almost like the head of some type of shady criminal thing, but they never say what she does for a living exactly. But then they kind of imply that she's like a prostitute or something, or, and then at some point to get Clint Eastwood's 90-year-old ass to not try to leave with her son, she basically like says, like, I'm gonna fuck you real quick. And he's the one that goes, no, I don't think so. Now, the truth is, 90-year-old Clint Eastwood is not taking his shirt off to fuck this woman on camera. But more importantly than that, that makes no fucking sense for the character motivation. Why would she do that? Like, cause Lynn, when he rejects her, she's like, she tells her, like, underlings, her henchmen, like, get him and kick him out of here. And I'm like, none of this makes sense. It feels like a fever dream. It feels like Clint Eastwood wanted a scene where, like, a sexy Latina woman comes on to him, a hot-blooded Latina, as they say, cause that's how they, you know, write these characters. It's like he wanted that in the film, but there was really no way to write it into the plot that made any fucking sense. But he was like, fuck it, we'll just have this woman. She's so crazy. She's crazy. She's so crazy. She's trying to fuck me. You know? So I did not like that shit at all. it felt so fucking extra. I don't know if people are just giving him props for being 92 and making a movie. I mean, I get it, and that's, you know, I guess that is impressive, making it starting in a movie. But yeah, it just feels weird and listless to me. And the way they get out of everything seems to be a lot by happenstance. The final act where they, like, escape they don't even escape. They run from the police, crash their car. The police get out and there's like, will Clint Eastwood have to shoot these cops? What's going to happen? And they end up basically bribing the cops and then the cops let them go. And, you know, it just feels so like everything was just coincidental and happenstance. You know, they needed stakes to make the movie seem like a big deal, but maybe Clint Eastwood just wanted to visit Mexico one last time in his life. And this is a way to get it done, all expenses paid, for $33 million. It wasn't hitting for me. Even the whole, like, Macho being a rooster, and that's the title, the Cry Macho, nothing. There's a big detour about this middle-aged woman, Marta, played by Natalia Travin, who is great. She is great in the film, and maybe I should have added her to the positives, because, you know, that's fair, because she is in the movie. I would add her to the positive. So, okay, when I said good things, please go back and edit this and say in your mind, because I'm not going to edit this in real life, go back and edit this and say, yeah, say that, you know, she was great. But also, once again, on the negative side, creepy. They made her this weird love interest thing. This man is 92. The actress is 52 years old. Hollywood, right? It's like, listen, 90 men stay fuckable when they're 90. Okay, everybody want to fuck an old dusty man. Okay, pull them crusty dusty balls out and let's get it going. But a woman is not fuckable after like 28. And the only way you become fuckable again is if you have a 40-year age difference between you and your love interest on the screen. You know, like, it happens all the time. He's like, oh, it's Robert De Niro, but he's fucking like Carla Gugino or something. You're like, why is that happening in this film? Couldn't he just have made the movie without anyone wanting to fuck this 90-year-old man? But okay, fine. What do I know? I'm not 90 yet. Maybe one day, knock on wood, I'll get there and I'll be like, wow, everybody's trying to fuck. I didn't know. Who knew? You know, with the advent of Viagra, apparently the ladies know, you know, so I don't know. But yeah, this whole like side story could have been its own like cute meet cute or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was from a different movie. It was almost like a rom-com starring Clint Eastwood and this 52-year-old widow who has like three baby girls, like she had three children or something. And the film in a way tries to become a romance in those things. And honestly, that's when Clint is at his best. But I don't know, man, looking at a 92-year-old man be smitten with a 52-year-old woman with three kids, just it wasn't doing it for me, you know. Maybe if it would have been like an older woman who was like 70 or something, or 80, maybe I would have felt differently. But it felt like a movie Clint Eastwood made as a vanity project, I'll put it that way. Anyway, I won't keep going with more stuff I didn't like, but it was not good. And I don't know if it was the acting choices or just the way they wrote this kid. I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt to the kid and say it's the way they wrote him, but the kid was so, like, it felt like a racial stereotype. I haven't looked into this movie, so I would guess maybe it's from a book or another, because it felt so dated, and it just felt like they wrote that kid to be so fucking, like, it's sad. Like, it's I wouldn't be surprised if some people thought it was almost offensive. Now, I don't know if it's offensive, because I'm, you know, obviously I'm not Mexican, but it was like such an old dated stereotype. You're like, I don't think anybody talks like that anymore. I think that's what white people think that Mexican people talk like. I was not feeling it. So let's rate it 0 to 5. Honestly, I would give this like I said, maybe a 1 out of 5, and that's mostly for, it's not for really Clint Eastwood. It's not really for the story. Natalia Travin as Marta is the most interesting character in the joint, so maybe her. But other than, and then of course it does look great, you know, you got that 4K going, all that shit, but other than that, it's a no for me, dog. All right, y'all, thanks for this listening to the review. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back soon with more reviews.